And I've shared this before. The Holy Ghost has been speaking to me over these past months. I keep hearing increase, 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 increase. And of course, I've shared some different facets of what that is. And of course, we know from the scripture, he desires us to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But I wanted to look at something today in the area of the Lord is my helper. Because I was sharing, if you don't stay connected to the vine and you don't have the light, you can't do anything. You can do nothing without staying connected to the vine, which is key. So in this, he is my helper. You know, sometimes we just talk over that scripture, but when you meditate on it, I'll tell you, when you get into a tight spot in life, you better know with confidence, he's my helper. He's my helper. He's my helper. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, sometimes it feels like he did, but he never has. He's right there, walking you through, right there. And I'll tell you, we've all experienced things in life. You know, I remember that time in when I came back from vacationing with my family. It's so vivid. Sometimes life experiences are vivid. You better not forget them, because those experiences, when God speaks to you, are indelibly imprinted in me, and I know they are you. But I remember, this was in right around 2000, 1999, around 2000. I came home from vacation, and I'm, you know, getting ready to go to work, and I'm standing in the shower, just enjoying the shower, you know how we do, just standing under the shower head and enjoying it. And I heard down here, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Now that's July. Now, you know, I'm standing in the shower and I went just like this: July, August, September, October, November, December. I went, 6 months. And I didn't do anything. Not because I was stubborn, but I was convinced of my confession of the word, and I had been in excruciating pain for about a year. And I had been singing, leading worship at the pulpit. There were times I was holding on in pain, but I still sang with the choir. And anybody who sings, you know, you put a little pressure on your diaphragm. Woo! Buddy. And so I obeyed. Finally, about after a week, I said, that was the Holy Ghost. He knows something I don't. I better go get this checked. And I would say all of it was diet related, because, you know, we can get in the ditch, and I'm sharing a little bit here. You can get in the ditch speaking the word and ignore him who's leading you. And you'll be 6 feet under. You'll be in glory. And everybody will be going, oh, he's such a wonderful person. And you're in glory, and we rejoice. But sometimes it didn't have to be. And so I was confessing the word, but he was speaking. and I overlooked it. And so I questioned that. I didn't understand it at first. But when I was studying and preparing one time and looking at Christ the Healer, he put in there 21 reasons why people don't receive their healing. And number 5, right at the top of the list, almost, was violating natural laws. So we live in this natural body. We've got to take care of it. We have to. Now, I don't mean get in the ditch over here either. Because some people can think, you know, eating healthy and doing all of this is going to keep you well. I know. The Word will, but you can violate some natural things. And when the Holy Ghost says, don't do this or make this adjustment, you better. Because it may not show up immediately. It may take 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and you ignored it. So don't get quiet on me. But I'm just sharing some things that I experienced that I didn't have to. I didn't have to. And he had mercy upon me. And he never left me. He said, buddy, if you don't get this checked, you're going home. And I did. And within 2 weeks, my stomach started turning around. 2 weeks. 1 month was 2 weeks. 6 months, it was like I never had it. But you see, so I've chosen through life now since that experience to just listen and obey. If you're doing something, if he doesn't say anything to you, don't get in a ditch. But he will make corrections. He'll help us. He's a helper. If we listen, he loves us more than we could even imagine. We're his hands and feet. We're it here. And he needs us here to work through, but he needs us to be what? Spiritually attuned. He needs us to be physically, you know, we're not promised to live forever, but I can tell you, you know, when I was down recently, you know, celebrating my mom's birthday, she's 97 and spunky. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I'm just saying she's spunky. And she loves Jesus. And so I just thank God for that. And I've committed, because the scripture says whether we live or whether we die, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, whether we live or whether we die, he owns us. We're his. And so we should honor him and keep this temple straight and in order. I don't know who that's for, but I'll tell you, I'm not trying to step on any toes or meddle, but we need to. When he said increase to me, he wants to do more through this ministry than we could ever realize, and he needs everybody to be ready to go. And when I say ready, I mean fit to go, spiritually, soulishly, physically, every part of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just share that, and I hope it helps somebody. Certainly wasn't meant to step on anybody's toes. Not at all. Because I went through that and I learned something. So if I can learn something, I'll share it. Praise the Lord. So this message today, the Lord is my helper, just sharing, his return is so close. And with all that's going on, all the issues, all the stuff that's going on in society, we need to maintain a strong spirit. Because if you don't, you can get pulled in different directions and caught up in things. And you need to, just as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 10:4, it says that we're to do what? Cast down every vain imagination, right? That exalts itself, what? Against the knowledge of God. So one of the things that I think about, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes, I was sharing this a few weeks ago, sometimes when we say strongholds, we always focus on the negative side. You know, say, oh, this is a stronghold, and people go, ooh, what kind of stronghold is that? But what if you had a stronghold of the Word of God, and you look at it from the other side, and you said, I have a stronghold in my soul and in my spirit of the Word of God, right? There's a stronghold of Him in me, so that nothing moves me or shakes me. So we can reach that. And so for us, it's important to have a strong spirit. I know in 3 John, this is, you know, we're familiar with this, but I like this in the New Living, 3 John 1:2. Says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are healthy or as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Oh, I like that. So you know, we know what it says. I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. But he said, strong in spirit. So it's going to be difficult to prosper and be in health if your spirit isn't strong. So it's important to maintain a strong spirit. And I would share this. Let's look at Jude chapter, verse 20 in Jude. We're all familiar with this. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But listen to this in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation. I tell you, this blessed me. It says, but you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. So we are what? To constantly and progressively build ourselves up what? On the foundation of your faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is one way we can establish a strong spirit. Feeding on the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Because when we have a strong spirit, and our spirit is strong, when it's coming by praying in the Holy Ghost, that means you are more sensitive to spiritual things, not natural things. As Romans says, what? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm not only building myself up, strengthening my inner man, but I'm also more sensitive to him, more sensitive to his leadings. And this is an area, I'm just telling you, for me, the Spirit of God has been nudging me, you need to pray more in the Holy Ghost. More in the Holy Ghost. Cut this out. I don't want you doing this. Take that time and pray in the Holy Ghost. I know I heard Leanne Sozaby, Reverend Leanne, who was over, you know, she's now they've started their own church in Rockwall, Texas. But she shared one time that when she was, I think, here, or I don't remember the occasion, but she said, you know, leading prayer school and all of the 150 prayer teams that they had at the school, very busy, and teaching in the Bible school, very active. She said, when I would get home, I would want to just sit in the lounge chair, and as you know, we say, she said, just kind of veg out a little bit and watch TV. And she said, the Holy Ghost said, turn the TV off. I don't want you doing that. I want you to take that time and pray in the Holy Ghost. So we can sometimes be busy and mentally engaged in things in life, and we come home and we just want to relax. And that's understandable. But we need to be open to his leadings, because the things that are going on today, you need to have your spirit man strengthened. Because stuff will hit life in your life that you weren't prepared for, and then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like Peter, yeah, praise God, I'm getting out of the boat. Woo. So we need to increase our time of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. If you're not there, you know, pray, you know, all of us, you're either taking public transportation, you're in the car driving somewhere, pray in the Holy Ghost. It'll sure make you more friendly on the roads. When somebody cuts you off. You know what I mean? This is another translation in Jude. They don't have this, but this is the Jerusalem Bible. It says, but you, my dear friends, must use your most holy faith as your foundation and build on that. I like the way this says this. And build on that, praying in this Holy Ghost. So this said again, we must use our most holy faith as your foundation and build on it. How are we going to build on it? Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. So we need to increase in this area, because John 10:10, let me read it in the Passion Translation. The thief has only one thing in mind. That's it. He's got one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Say everything. Everything in abundance. Everything. Some folks say, boy, I'm sure doing good. Everything. That means if you're not in abundance in some area of your life, then you need to increase in that area. That means everything. Every area of our life should be in abundance. Are we all there yet? No. But Jesus is saying here, I've come to give you everything in abundance, right? More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn over to Hebrews 13:5. Wanted to look at this today for a few minutes. Hebrews 13:5. We're all familiar with this, 5 and 6. Good to meditate upon the holy written word. What is this? Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said. Say, he hath said. He hath said. Oh, yeah. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's verse 6 say? So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Listen to the Passion Translation. I love this translation. It says, don't be obsessed with money. Didn't say don't have it. It said don't be obsessed with it. But live content with what you have. Now listen to this. For you always have God's presence. Woo! We always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. You know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to boldly say it, or say it with confidence. How does that come about? By meditating on it, by saying it. To the place where it registers on your heart that I can boldly say. You know, that when that said, you always have God's presence. You know, this thought came to me about 2 weeks ago. I was sitting home quiet. And this thought came to me. When a woman is pregnant, she becomes aware that now something is living, someone is now living on the inside of her. And of course, we know there's changes, but she becomes aware. And the Holy Spirit said, my people need to be aware that I'm in them. You know, we can be busy. We're going around. Be aware. You know, a woman who's pregnant, she's busy. She's doing housework. But she's always aware of this baby that's in her. Tending, thinking, focused. We've got him living in us. We should never be unaware of his presence. We may not feel him, but he's there. He's in us. That's all that Brother Hagin said for his time here on this earth. Be God inside-minded. He's in me. He's my helper. You know, I remember one time in my life when I first came to this ministry, I was in an automobile accident and I was served with a lawsuit for $250,000. And this was back in 1986. That was a lot of money. I thought I was done. It was over. And sitting in that office above the Circle Sanctuary, that was my office, I'm sitting there in a daze. And up out of here, the helper, the one who lives in me, spoke up. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I jumped up off my seat and I started dancing, saying, I'm a tither. I'm a tither. I'm a tither. I'm a tither. And I started to shout, he's going to rebuke this. And he did. Now, I'd like to say it changed overnight. It took about 6-8 months to go through all of the legal stuff. And it ended up going to the Supreme Court in Rockland County. I didn't have to go. And I was not charged. So he did rebuke the devourer. And whatever they desired was within the insurance policy on my car, which was at that time, poquito. Not a lot. I put what I could afford on the car. It was legal, but it was the minimum. And that's what these lawyers said. You know, Rockland County, everybody sues. That's all they said. So they're trying to fear, fear, fear. But the helper was there to not leave me hanging out. He's in me. I know him. I hear him. See, remember what, you know, Brother Hagin, these life stories are so important. His presence is always with us. And you need to be aware and you need to say it so that we can boldly what? Say, not think it. Say it. He's with me. Even when you don't feel it, when your flesh is screaming and you got no peace and everything's hitting you from every side of you, I boldly say with confidence, even if I got to say it through grit teeth, he's here with me. I know him. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. His presence is here. I'll know what to do because he's in me. And we need to boldly say that when life gets turned upside down, and it happens to all of us, we need to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's my helper. You know, I remember, I'm thinking of this story, when Mrs. Hagin, this was a few years back, I think it was around about 8 years, I think around 12 or 13 when we were at Winter Bible Seminar. And she talked about how she slipped and fell on her tailbone. Now they call it the coccyx bone. And she said the pain was so excruciating. She said it was worse than childbirth. She said it was just excruciating pain. Went to the doctor. Doctor gave her the strongest medicine they could give her. She said it did nothing. It didn't alleviate the pain. And so the doctor just told her, well, you're going to have to live with it. And she said, mm-mm. And Pastor Hagin said to her, honey, you start saying, the healing power of God is in me, affecting a healing and a cure in my body, driving out of my body every sickness and disease. And she said, I'd like, this is what she said, I'd like to say that it went away right away. But she said, if I said it 100 times a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. Constantly. The healing power of God is working in me. And she said, after 3 months, it started to just subside a little bit. And then after a period of time, it went away. So I don't care what, the blood has paid for everything. And we have the name of Jesus and the Word of God, and I don't care what it, now I can't believe for you, because if I could, if you could, then you could get somebody saved. We can get in agreement, and we both release our faith, but the change that's needed in your body sometimes, or your finance, you're going to have to boldly say it. Not think it. You're going to have to boldly say it. Not a little, but a lot. Because it will change the circumstance. It'll change it. It'll change it. It'll change it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. What did Isaiah the prophet say? He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void to me, but it shall accomplish that which what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So I'm just sharing some thoughts here today. He's our helper. When we don't feel like it, he's my helper. His presence is always with me. Always. You know, there's three ways that the Lord leads us. And Brother Hagin had how many times? 7 times the Lord appeared to him. And he said the last time he appeared to him, he said, I'm not going to lead you this way anymore. Because he was relaying a story how he was writing a letter to respond to a pastor about coming to share or teach. And he said every time he'd write it, he'd go, ah, and he'd throw it in the trash. And he wasn't settled. He wasn't settled. Where? In his spirit. And the Lord said to him, no, you shouldn't go, and I'm not going to lead you this way, me appearing to you and telling you, no, don't go. He said, I'm going to lead you now the primary way that I lead all my children, and that's by the inward witness. So, a witness is not a voice. A witness is not a voice. And yet, the Holy Spirit in our spirit bears witness with our spirit, and we are led by that inner witness. Man, I'll tell you, how many in here have been led by that inner witness? And the more we yield, say yield, the more we yield, the more we pray in the Holy Ghost, every one of us growing up, we've done something we shouldn't have done. And that, your conscience, your spirit, that inner witness, you know what it is. Most of us know. Sometimes we don't want to know. And we ignore it. And you're confessing the word, and there's an inner witness that says, this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't do this. You know, I remember when I went through that issue with getting my stomach straightened out, I went to this doctor and didn't have a good witness. I didn't go back. I didn't care what he had to say. He could have said yippee, skippy, whatever. It didn't matter. I didn't have a witness and I didn't go back. So when you have an unsettledness in your spirit, follow it. You know, Brother Hagin would always say this, if you don't have a witness in your spirit, what do? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Until he does what? Go to the left, go to the right, stop. You keep going in the direction you're going until you get a witness. These are life-saving things. He is my helper. He sent us a helper. Let's not ignore him. He's trying to help us. And in this time, the times that we live in, we need to be looking to the helper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because what? What does the scripture say? Without faith, it is not possible to please God. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's present. God is present. He's there to help. I like this. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble. He's not just present, he's a proven help. More than enough, always available whenever I need you. He's always available. Sometimes we just have to get quiet. But he's always available to help. You know, you think about it, he's not just present, but he's proven himself over and over and over and over and over and over. Think about how he proved himself through Moses after he led the Israelites, not her face in the Red Sea. And they're stuck. They're turning around. Oops, we can't go back. What did he do? He proved himself. He proved himself what? Through Paul. You know, when we talk about this inner witness, think about Luke, right in the beginning of the book of Luke. He said, it seemed good to write these things to you, O Theophilus. What did he say? It seemed good. That's that inner witness. What did Paul say in the book of Acts, over in chapter 27? What did he say? I perceive that this is going to be a problem, folks, if we leave. Now, yes, we know the angel appeared to him, but before they got on that journey, he said what? I perceive. It's not going to be good if we set sail. And that's the same thing. We need to have this strong spirit and be sensitive because the devil's pulling out all the stops. He's trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy you. And we need not give him one inch. Not one. And God's here to help us and protect us. He's here to help us and protect us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read this, Proverbs 4:23. In the Good News Translation, and of course, in the King James, we know what it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. That word is boundaries. We set the boundaries in our life by what comes out of our mouth. And so, in the Good News, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. We need to do what? Bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Be careful how we think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Hallelujah. And just let's look at this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Verses 2:12-13. 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13. It says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because why? When ye received the word of God. You got to receive it. You received it, what you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Effectually works where? In me that believes. I believe. It's working in me. His word is working in me. I know Pastor Clinton used to say every service, let's say this, the word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Yeah, but you got to believe. So we're going to put that little coda at the end. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me because I believe. Because I believe it is. It's working mightily in me. Philippians 2:13 in the New Living. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. He's working in me. He's ever present. He's there in me working. When I don't feel him, he's working. When I feel him, he's working. He's working in my body. He's working in my finances. He's working in relationships. He's working. He's working in our families. He's working in our children when we don't see it. But you've got to believe that he is, and you got to say it. You got to speak it. Because what does the scripture say? In Numbers, it says, God is not a man that he can lie. Hasn't he said it? Won't he do it? So when we think in our thoughts that maybe he's not doing it, we're calling him a liar in our thoughts. That's a strong statement, but the point is, when we think nothing's working, then we are challenging the word of God and saying, well, maybe it's not so, but it is so. He is working in our families. He's working in our children when we don't see it. But I believe he is. And he's working, he's working, he's working in us. His presence is ever there. He is what? My helper. He's my helper. He's my helper. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 2. We know these scriptures in 2, 3, and 4. King James, my brethren, count it what? All joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works something. It's that P word. Is that patience? Works patience. And then it does what? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. I like this. This was something in Rick Renner's writings. He said, this word patience or endurance conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now, there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give up. We need to have that kind of determination and be determined that God is in me. He's my helper. The devil is defeated, and his word is forever settled in heaven, and it has to come to pass. If I hold steady and believe it, it must come to pass. It must. This is Rick Renner's translation of this, his Renner International Version. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and turning down every opportunity to quit. When you want to quit, turn it down. Say, no, I'm not quitting. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. I like what Pastor Hagen did when he said when his dad went home to be with the Lord. Now that ministry, you know how large Rhema is and all of the things that they do and the ministries and the schools. He said 2/3 of the people left. 2/3 after his dad passed. So he said it was a big adjustment. And he said he took his Bible, put it on the floor, said, I'm standing in my office. And he said, I stood on it. And he said, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. And this word and this assignment is going to be fulfilled. And we need to have that same determination that if God has given me an assignment, if he's given me some marching orders, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I've got a helper in me. I don't care whether you're a pastor, whether you're a home, stay-at-home person, or you're retired, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, he's in you to fulfill his pleasure. And we are to not what? Give in, give up. Let those thoughts fester. Say, no. He's got an assignment for me, and it's going to be fulfilled. And whatever we need to do. But we keep speaking what I believe. We keep speaking what I believe. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good And he's never left us nor forsaken us. He's in me. Say, he's in me. He's in me. He lives in me. I say it more often now than I've ever done. I just get up. I say, thank you for living in me. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for leading me today. Thank you for bearing witness. You know, it's possible. And that's my desire and my confession, that as I go through life, not one thing will I miss. Meaning, decisions, it'll always be the right decision. Because you've got the helper. And when you got to make a choice, and I got to choose A or B, there's going to be a witness here. Something's going to register because he's in me. And he's going to go, that's the right direction, right over there. Take that. Go that direction. That's the right one. My confession is, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to make the right choices because the helper is in me. His presence is there to lead me and guide me. We know what Proverbs 3, it says, that wisdom, talking about wisdom, it says, all its paths are peace. So when you have peace about something, it's the right way. When you don't, hold up. We do it every day in the ministry. Pastor Greg and I will be sitting there, we'll say, does that give you any peace? What do you sense down here? That's the witness. The more you look to the inner man, the more you look on the inside, it's a good God because he's a good God. He's my helper. He's my helper. And he's proven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, I saw this. Somebody wrote this, and I thought this was good. Let's close with this. I just read this scripture. Luke 6, 47, 48, and 49. Luke 6, this is in the King James. This is talking about the man who built his house, one on a rock and one on a foundation. I mean, one on sand. And it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, dig deep, and laid what? He laid the foundation, not the house. He laid the foundation for the house on a rock. He laid the what? The foundation. And then what else? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that what? Without a foundation. Say without a foundation. Without a foundation. Built the house on the earth or sand. That's what Matthew says, on sand. Against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. This person wrote, he said, the difference between... Or this is what he wrote. He said, the house that is built on sand looks exactly the same as the house that's built on the rock till the storm comes. They both look the same until the storm comes. So we need to maintain a strong spirit, and we need to build our foundation upon the Word of God. And don't budge. Don't budge off it. Because when the winds come and they blow, and they will, if that foundation is built upon a rock, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Your house won't be moved. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today because you are my helper. And as I go through life and I have to make choices and decisions, I look to you. I look for your direction because you care for me in the things that I do in this natural realm. And I thank you that we do see, we know you, and we do see and we do know what to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And just before we receive our offering today, I see everyone and most know everyone here. So I'm going to do this for the sake of those watching online. And if there's anybody here, maybe you want to get right with God. Maybe you need to. Maybe you just said, you know what? I need to get my life right. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe you walked away. You know, you never know who may be watching or who's in our presence. But he's here to help, even in this area. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you turned your back on him, he didn't turn his back on you. What a great God we serve. What a loving God we serve. So if you desire to know him, to know the helper, to know the one to help you in life and guide you in all the affairs of life and to redeem you by the blood of Jesus, then let's say this, Father God, I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to this earth, and I believe that he took my sins. And I believe he took them to hell. And I thank you that on the third day, when sin was paid for, he was released from hell. And we were raised from the dead. And I believe that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ. I ask you, Father, to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me, and I thank you that I will follow you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer, then I would ask you to let us know if you're here. We'll give you some free information, and if you're watching online, we'll send that to you, and they'll put up some information. You can either email us or call us, and we will send that to you as to who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to share this as we close. I love this particular scripture. It's in the Passion Translation. It's 1 John chapter 1. And verse 5, 6 and 7. This scripture ministers to me. in the Passion Translation, it says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him." Ah. Ah. "You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth." But look at verse 7. "But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin." Oh, the power of the blood, the power of staying connected to the vine. Living in him means that if we live in him, then in us, if there's not one trace of darkness in him, that means in your spirit, there's not one trace of darkness in you. Because if there was, you wouldn't get to heaven. This isn't about how you feel, and that's why we need to have our minds renewed. And when we miss it, we break fellowship with one another. And this says here, we need to do what? Ask him for forgiveness so that he cleanses us of what? Unrighteousness with the blood. So when we continually walk in the pure light, we have unbroken fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God.